Grace and peace to you, my friends, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to worship with Stockbridge Presbyterian Church on this, the 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time and our 21st Sunday of gathering in this way. I am Betsy Turner and I am your pastor, and it is my joy to lead us in worship this day. I hope that those who are friends and connected to Stockbridge Presbyterian have received the newsletter this week for August, and that you have spent some time with that, looking at some of the new and ongoing opportunities to engage with the mission and ministry of the church. In particular, we are still looking for a couple of pen pals for some kids within our congregation. So if you're interested in doing that, let me know. The notes for Piedmont Henry Hospital are due this coming Saturday, August the 15th, and you can drop those off or you can mail them, and you'll find that information in the newsletter. And we are still plenty of space in our Let's Talk conversation about race and racism. So if you're interested in that conversation, please let me know so that I can get you signed up and get you the materials. I'm looking forward to some of the new ways that we are connecting even while we are apart. And of course, our worship is at the heart of the ways that we connect with one another and with God. And so let us worship God together this day. Because our scripture this morning is a story of Jesus and a storm at sea, I have chosen Eternal Father Strong to Save, a hymn we usually sing sort of on national holiday occasions, as we had a recording of it in our service around the 4th of July. So this is a little unusual, but I hope you will join me in singing today. Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm does bind the restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. O Trinity of love and power, your children shield in danger's hour, from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoe'er they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad hymns of praise from land and sea. Now would you pray with me? Holy God, in the midst of a lot of chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come, and be with us. Amen. Our scripture reading is continuing in the book of Matthew in chapter 14 and beginning with the 22nd verse. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Stopping the story right there is a bit like pressing pause in the middle of an action sequence. Those who are astute Bible scholars may remember that this story goes on to the scene where Peter then steps out of the boat and walks towards Jesus on the water, losing his footing only when he loses sight of Jesus. I suppose a lot of preachers will preach that sermon today about what it means to step out in faith and walk toward Jesus. But I'm going to save that sermon for another day. For now, I want to stop right here in the middle of the story in this moment of Jesus approaching the boat. Or more importantly, Jesus approaching the disciples. Because this part is the part I need to hear. And maybe you do too. The simple and profound promise that Jesus is with us in the storm. You know, the disciples were exhausted from the events of the day. We picked up this story right after what we read last week, that long day of ministry that ended with the feeding of the crowd. So they're tired. They're also, I figure they must be existentially weary in body and mind and emotion and spirit from this business of picking up their lives and going to follow Jesus and engaging with the demands of this ministry. They're also grieving. They're grieving the loss of John the Baptist. And they haven't had any time or space to process that pain. And they're alone, out in the middle of the sea. They're literally between one place and another, and they're also sort of between things in life, not knowing what will happen next or what might be asked of them. And now they are terrified and even more tired from a long night of rowing against the howling wind and bailing the water out of the bottom of the boat and scanning the pitch dark for a speck of light or a glimpse of the land or both. All the while uncertain that they could survive the next wave. And so we find the disciples at sea and adrift, both literally and figuratively, in the midst of a terrible storm, tired, weary, grieving, alone, and terrified. And that's when Jesus comes to them. In the midst of all of that, and says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." I don't know about you, but that's a word I need to hear. Because at sea and adrift sounds fairly familiar to me these days. I feel for the disciples. I'm right there with them. We're all right there with them in the midst of a storm. A global pandemic is quite a storm. And along with it, isolation and economic upheaval, our nation in turmoil, the world turns upside down, along with all of our own personal and medical and emotional goings on. And tired, weary, grieving, alone, and terrified, frankly, sounds about right to me. And maybe it does to you too. There is so much uncertainty in these days, so many forces beyond our control, so little we can know for sure, and we can't see the shore when this will be over or how we might land safely on the other side. And so we just keep rowing as hard as we can and bailing the water and watching for specks of light. And the promise of this story is that Jesus comes to us in just that moment, in the midst of the storm. This particular storm we're all going through together, but you may be thinking of a personal storm that you have been through or are going through even now. We've all experienced stormy times at one time or another. And this story tells us that Jesus comes in the midst of the storm. That's when Jesus shows up and says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Now you might have noticed that this is not the story of Jesus calming the storm. Matthew already told us that one back in chapter 8, where Jesus was asleep in the boat and a great storm came up and the disciples woke him up and he was startled, but he rebuked the wind and the waves and then it was completely calm. That's a different story. This is a story not of Jesus calming the storm, but of Jesus in the midst of the storm. In a moment, after the incident with Peter walking on the waves, the storm will still, but there's no indication here that it has to do with Jesus, that Jesus makes the storm stop. Because this isn't the story of Jesus ending a storm. This is the story of Jesus showing up in the storm. And we can have our questions about why he can't or won't or doesn't stop this particular storm. But the truth is, we don't know those answers. We have to leave that to the mysteries of God. What we do know is that Jesus comes to the disciples in the midst of the storm. This is a story of Jesus wanting and choosing to be with the ones he loves, even as the rain keeps falling. Jesus speaking a word of comfort, even as the wind continues to whip around them. You see, this story isn't so much about Jesus' power to alleviate suffering, but about his presence with and his comfort for those who are in the midst of suffering. He goes so far as to walk across the water to get to them, so that they will not be alone and afraid, but will have his comforting presence with them as they go through the storm. What it reminds me of, and maybe you'll think this is a strange analogy, I don't know, but what it makes me think of is my mother's cool hand on my forehead when I was a child, sick with a fever. And her touch didn't make me well in that moment. Her being there didn't make my temperature go down or the medicine work faster or my appetite come back or the germs go away. It didn't erase the achy feeling or make my nose stop running. And I guess you could say that her touching my forehead in that way didn't change anything. But it made all the difference to know that she was there, to know that she cared, to know that I was not alone, and that she would be by my side until the fever broke, as long as it took, just because she loves me. That's what Jesus did for the disciples in that storm. I wish I had answers for why he didn't stop the storm, but I don't. I just know that he showed up and it made a difference to them. That by his presence, they knew they weren't alone. And this is, of course, what Jesus does for us too. The wind may rage on and the waves threaten to overwhelm us, but it makes all the difference to know that we are not in it alone, and he will stay by our side for as long as it takes, simply because he loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen. for an anthem today. I am grateful for the gifts of our musician Gina Ridgway, who offers us a rendition of When Peace Like a River on marimba. And I invite you to listen and to think about the words of this song as you receive this beautiful gift. It is our joy and our gracious responsibility to respond to the goodness of our God with our own generosity. You can give to the mission and ministry of Stockbridge Presbyterian Church through our online giving portal or by putting a check in the mail. When you give, it is an act of trust in the God who loves you. And we believe that with every gift, not only are we blessed, but God blesses what we give and uses it all to proclaim the good news to people who are in the midst of the storm. So give generously as giving to the Lord, and thanks be to God, the giver. As an expression of praise and gratitude, we join our voices in the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God all creatures here below. Praise God above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Now will you pray with me? Lord God, as we continue to navigate these tumultuous times, feeling battered by forces beyond our control, we cling to the sure hope of your presence and your promise, which assures us that none of our thoughts and dreams, our doubts or worries, are off limits to your care and your compassion. Therefore, with deep trust, we ask you to hear our prayers for those in our midst who are most battered by the storms of our time. Grab the hands of those about to go under the waves of poverty or financial crisis. We ask for your intervention on behalf of families unable to provide basic necessities for their children, for our siblings who live with food insecurity, those on the cusp of eviction, and the unemployed facing the end of benefits. As we see those about to be swamped by the waves of this pandemic, move us to act in ways that lift others out of the roiling sea. Reach out and give your courage and strength to people in leadership positions. Grant them wisdom and deep empathy to make decisions in the best interest of the most vulnerable. Those for whom this difficult season has been not just inconvenient, but catastrophic. We pray for teachers, staff, parents, and students as they seek to navigate a new school year with unprecedented challenges and uncertainties. We remember before you our essential workers who face the stormy reality of this public health crisis every day. Protect and sustain them, Lord, in their work and in their living. Quiet the dangerous winds of discord and division and stir up the breath of your Holy Spirit to heal and unite us. Strengthen our witness so that others may look at your church and see your hands and feet at work in the world, feeding and tending, forgiving and repairing, doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God. We pray, O God, with urgency for those who are in the midst of the storms of life, for the sick and the hurt and those who care for them, for the dying and those who grieve, especially those who do so alone, for the hungry, the poor, and those who are most vulnerable, for the long oppressed and those still waiting for justice, for the anxious and those who feel most alone. We pray for ourselves that you would grant us a full measure of your grace. Hear us now as we name in silence or out loud in our own spaces our specific concerns and the particular ways we need your grace. In this moment, Lord God, we rest in your presence, certain that you are able to do abundantly more than we can ever hope or imagine. Never far from us, always reaching out your hand to save us when we fear the wind and waves of life will overtake us. We worship and praise you now as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, I charge you now, as I always do, to go forth from this time of worship, to love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And go from this time trusting and believing that you do not go alone. For Jesus Christ walks out into the storm to be with us. And so we are never, ever alone. Knowing this, my friends, be at peace. Amen.